I'm Liz Shanoff for CBS News in Los Angeles.
I rely on your integrity and generosity. I want to be able to be grateful to
Forgive
you.
Forgive me if I say I don't want your gratitude. What I want from you is something altogether deeper.
Like an Oscar, maybe. It wasn't what the 18th century characters in the nominated movie Dangerous Liaisons had in mind, but in 20th century Hollywood, the sleek gold statuette is the deepest form of gratitude. So every year, the major studios rev up their publicity machines to promote their pictures, their stars, their directors and cinematographers and songwriters for Academy Awards. Oscar promotions target the 5,100 members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. These are the film industry insiders who first nominate, then select the winners by secret ballot. To reach this very specific demographic group, the studios advertise heavily in the two trade papers, The Hollywood Reporter and Daily Variety. The Reporter's sales and marketing director is Lynn Siegel.
Starting in August, a lot of the studios start booking premium positions, which mean they book page two, five, center spreads, back covers, to make sure that their ads, they don't know what exactly they're advertising, but that they've got those positions locked up.
The push for nominations begins in November with lush four-color ads, sometimes two pages wide, discreetly headlined for your consideration. Many of these ads invite Academy members to free screenings, and sometimes, says Siegel, there are added inducements to attend.
Some of the studios, like Universal, have dinners for the Academy members. They have a dinner, then they'll do a screening, which really, in a lot of ways, is a very intelligent way to do it because you can be guaranteed that the members are going to see the movie.
If they see it, like it, and nominate it, the candidate gets a second ad blitz in February when the Academy mails the final ballots to the membership. But trade ads are only one cog in the Oscar publicity machine. Academy members are deluged with direct mail, posters, video cassettes, flyers. Terry Ritzer edits The Hollywood Reporter.
I've seen some lavish promotional brochures and catalogs and books with glossy photos and, I mean, very expensive reproduction that, you know, would be a nice souvenir, a coffee table souvenir book that, I mean, it really does get very elaborate now. The studios spend a lot of money on Oscars. And, you know, while people say you cannot buy an Oscar, I think that sometimes too much of that sort of thing can work the opposite way and have a very different effect. Turns people off.
In essence, it felt like somebody was trying to buy an election.
Director Carl Reiner is one Academy member who is turned off by all the puffery.
It would not turn me off, really, from voting for something that I really like. It just annoys me.
Reiner believes the big bucks Oscar blitz is unfair to small, independent companies that don't have the money to promote their award-worthy productions.
The same rules that hold for electing officials, governmental officials, should hold to the Academy. Everybody should be given a certain amount of money to advertise, make everybody aware of every picture that's, and leave it at that. But if you are a richer person, it seems that you can get more advertising done and maybe win by using your wealth.
Can you buy an Oscar? That question has been debated for years over Hollywood power breakfasts. The consensus? No campaign, no matter how slick, will buy a nomination for a real turkey. But no picture will be considered a serious award candidate if it is not vigorously promoted by its studio. Analyst Harold Vogel follows the film industry for Merrill Lynch.
You wouldn't think very much of a picture that was nominated and not advertised. That would imply that the company that is backing the picture doesn't back it with its full force and credibility.
In recent years, says The Hollywood Reporter Siegel, some actors have bought ads with their own money to supplement the studio promotion.
A really good case in point on that happened to be with Edward James Olmos for Stand and Deliver. Warner Brothers ran some ads for his portrayal of Jaime Escalante as the teacher in Stand and Deliver. What ended up by happening was that the studio did not put as much effort, let's say, into that as they did with Bird, which was a Clint Eastwood movie. So Edward James Olmos took out an ad campaign for himself, and as a result of that, quite frankly, he got people to be aware of his performance, and he got an Oscar nomination.
But let's get to the bottom line. What kind of return do the studios get for all their promotional spending? How much is an Oscar worth? Editor Ritzer believes a win in one of the major categories can boost a film's box office by 30%. Merrill Lynch's Vogel puts the figure lower. About 10% in the domestic box office, 5 to 20% in the so-called aftermarkets of video cassettes and cable and overseas rights.
An Academy Award is only slightly better than a nomination for publicity purposes. Once you make it into the nomination category, you probably don't gain all that much more for most pictures by being the actual winner.
Vogel says the box office boost is greatest for a film that was rather obscure before its nomination, such as last year's Best Picture, The Last Emperor. He doesn't think any of the five movies nominated this year fit that mold. Then why all this annual huffing and puffing? Prestige, says Vogel. He adds that a successful campaign often secures the services of the Oscar-winning director or actor for future projects at the same studio. Finally, Oscar winners do increase the value of a studio's film library. And as Vogel points out, a library's value is a key asset during merger or buyout negotiations. You may be wondering why you haven't heard any studio promotion people discuss this hottest of hot Hollywood topics. Well, every single major studio we contacted for this story refused interviews. Made us feel a little like that guy in the nominated movie Mississippi Burning.
The reason people don't want to talk to you is because they're afraid it'll get back to the law.
Well, maybe not to the law, but certainly to the top studio executives. Just like political campaign managers, they like to pretend if their candidates win on Wednesday night, they'll win on merit alone. I'm Liz Shanoff for CBS News, Los Angeles.